Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 10, the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, text 1. Sri Sukha Vaja, Banga Deer Kapa, Ustha, Ustha Smat, Pratushala, Jastato Maharajas, Smat, Dasarato Kavat. Shukadeva Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Kabanga was dear Kabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasara. Text 2. Tasyapi Bhagavanesha Saksha Prabhayo Hari Amsa Shena Chaturadaya Bhutaptam Pratita Sarai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samyaya. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasara. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadam, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishakava, Niyamena Tishtam. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead. And they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasara in response to the prayers by the demigods. Only Anatimidandasya Gyananjana Shalabhaya Chakshurmilitamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vrindananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasavi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes you may wonder why these verses dedicated to enumerating family lines, dynasties. This one married that one, and that was the son, that son married this one, and this was their son, and on it goes. In fact, there's one chapter, I believe, in the sixth canto that's just full of verses like that. And you want to speed over it very quickly. What is the point of this? There's no information here. There's no metaphysical knowledge. There are no intricacies, nothing esoteric. So you want to turn the pages very quickly, right? Then you get to the end of that chapter in the sixth canto, and there's a benediction. Anyone who reads and studies the names on this list achieves pure devotion. Oops! So the question then is, what is the real importance of these family lines? We know that Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Raghu dynasty. That means like his great-great-grandfather was Maharaj Raghu. You wouldn't like to be known in terms of what your great-great-grandfather did. How many of you even know about what your great-great-grandfather did? These days, you probably don't even know what your father did. So, what was all the fuss? And then we go back to Maharaj Kadanga. He must be like great, 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 great grandfather of Lord Ramachandra. Dynasties and family lines are very important in real human society because those family lines, those dynasties, preserve real human civilization. This is why Arjuna was not wanting to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. One of the reasons why. A main reason. He told Krishna, frankly, so many men soldiers will be killed. That leaves women without husbands. The family will be destroyed. There'll be no structure to the family. Unwanted children will be born. The children that are already born, they'll have no father at home. Everything will become unregulated. Everything will become chaotic. And the whole society will just plunge toward hellish conditions. So this is the reason. Arjuna gave. Stishu, Dishtashu, Varshneya, Jayate, Varna, Sankara. We smash the family structure. We smash that line, that family line, the dynasties, one generation after another, following in real human civilization. We smash that due to the death of so many soldiers. And then what do we have left? All of human society will just totter and collapse. And Arjuna is right. From his point of view, yet Krishna had a broader, wider point of view. A viewpoint so wide that it could take in even the momentary and localized family disorder that was caused by the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was seeing the big picture, and Arjuna couldn't see the picture that big. This is why we listen to Bhagavad Gita. We listen to Bhagavad Gita because Krishna is not an ordinary person. As Srila Prabhupada points out so many times, if Krishna is an ordinary person, what's the value of Bhagavad Gita? There's so many books written and spoken by ordinary persons. So if you read Bhagavad Gita like you're hearing from an ordinary person, a conditioned soul with all the defects that conditioned souls have, and Bhagavad Gita loses its value completely. This is why Srila Prabhupada emphasized that point in his purports. Understand who Krishna is if you want to benefit from Bhagavad Gita. Understanding who Krishna is means listen to what Krishna says about himself. I point out so many times, how would you feel if you were honestly, sincerely trying to explain yourself to someone and they ignored you and just listened to so much gossip and rumors about you? Never happens, of course, amongst devotees. But let's say, here you are trying to explain, no, this is who I am, this is how I really feel, this is how I think. And the person just disregards you, ignores you, and asks someone who is external to your situation, who doesn't have deep knowledge of you. They don't even ask your friends. They ask some stranger, what do you think? What do you think about that person? What's your opinion? You would feel horrible. You would feel denied. You would feel impersonalized. And so this is exactly what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. He's telling you who he is. Now, why should you have a hang-up about Krishna just because he says he's a Supreme Personality God? What do you want out of him? You want to say something else? I'm actually a Supreme Personality God, but I don't want to say that to you because you might be offended. I'm Bhagavan, but let's not talk about that, you know. Let's just get down on the ground here. It's you and me, and what do you think? What's your opinion? Is that what we want Krishna to do? Indeed, some people, they react to Bhagavad Gita as if Krishna is proud. How dare you say he's the Supreme Personality of God? We all know that can't be true, right? But if you take Bhagavad Gita as it is, then you understand you're hearing from the broadest point of view possible. A view so broad that even Krishna told Arjuna, don't worry about the temporary disturbance caused by the battle of Kurukshetra. I've got a bigger picture in sight. And according to that bigger picture, it's best you fight the war. Now, from the material point of view, Duryodhana and company, the Kurus, they were top administrators. They had ability, they had power, they had heroism, they had all kinds of strengths necessary to carry on a good government. And they really wanted to give protection to the people while doing a few nefarious things on the side. So compared to governments of today, what Duryodhana and company were offering was far sublime. Duryodhana and company, they really, as genuine Kshatriyas, wanted to protect the people. And their deviations were just personal things on the side, a little bit of cheating, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but compared to governments today in which caring for the people is the minor mode and self-aggrandizement, selfishness is the main mode, it's a great difference. Yet, Duryodhana had a problem. And because of that problem, Krishna, seeing the bigger picture, wanted him out. Krishna's making politics. Krishna wants his men in, and the other guy is out. Like, what is Krishna doing interfering with the world? Why does he just mind his own business? Doesn't he have enough to do in the local Vrindavan? He's got the most beautiful girls. Isn't that enough to keep anyone occupied? He's got the girls and the cows and the cowherd boys. He's got his mother and father. Why would he care enough to interfere with the human world? But Krishna explains himself in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Utsi Deva Eme Loka Nakuya Kama Chedam. If I don't do something when things go crazy on earth, I could indirectly get the blame because everyone is my descendant. I'm the seed-giving father of everyone. So if I don't set things right from time to time, I could be accused of neglect. So therefore, Krishna comes. Pratichanaya sadhanam manasaya chadushkritam. He also explains that in Bhagavad Gita. In order to annihilate the deviants and deliver the devotees, I come. And as you know, the devotees, actually by the very nature of being a bhakti yogi, they don't need to be delivered. Just by the bhakti yoga practice, they're already delivered. But Krishna comes to entertain them with his inconceivable pastimes. Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, Ma anusmara yujam cha, fight and think of me. Think of me and then you'll be able to see at least partially the big picture and how you're just an instrument in that big picture. You can just be an instrument in this big scene. We're speaking about family lines, illustrious family lines, real dynasties of highly qualified persons. Without this, you have no human civilization. Let's just talk about Maharaj Khatganga, who's the grandfather of Lord Ramchandra, about four or five steps back. Khatganga, you might consider his situation quite woeful and piteous. He was such a powerful Kshatriya, such a powerful Vedic warrior, that he went interplanetary in his activities. The demigods recruited him. They headhunted him. We need some help in battling the demons. please come to the heavenly planets and fight on our behalf because you're so powerful. And so Maharaj Katranga did that. And after heroic battles, the demigods asked him, now you can have any benediction you want. You've satisfied us with your service. What would you like? Now, understand that Katanga Maharaj is in the heavenly planets. He's from Earth. He's seeing luxuries and sense gratification a million times better and more intense than what's available on Earth. Do you understand that? A million times more intense and luxurious. What do you think about that? The ladies have bodies that are naturally perfumed, they spread fragrances all around. Their bodies are cooling in the summer and warming in the winter. The demigods have vacation spots that make Queenstown look like Otara's. Oh, come on, hear this. And there is Kathondamaj, a resident of Earth. At a time when Earth was very opulent, wasn't Kali Yuga. And he's in the heavenly planets, and he's asked, what benediction do you want? He's surrounded by, as I said, luxury and sense gratification millions of times better. It's all material, but still it's millions of times better. That's the point. Think about that. Millions of times better. Isn't that the desire of practically every earthling? To have those peak moments. That phrase is even a peak moment. It doesn't get better than this. This is what it's all about. Those peak moments. I don't mind suffering repeated birth and death just for a few of those peak moments. And it all seems to click, it all seems to work. Even a near miss is good enough. It's time you almost had it all. Almost is good enough. Doesn't get any better than that when you want to be practical. You almost had it all. Even that's glory. But to speak of those, having those peak moments. Yet, Kathondra Maharaj is in the heavenly planets, and where every second is a peak moment, there are nothing but peak moments. Still, even in the heavenly planets, there are disturbances. As Krishna explains honestly in Bhagavad Gita, Abramabhuvanaloka Punavatina Arjuna. He tells you, even in the highest planets, there are problems. There's birth and death. Now, what will we say? Well, I don't mind birth and death as long as those facilities, that material enjoyment. Now, birth and death is part of life. Krishna says, no, it's not part of life. Why do you accept it like that? Just see how miserly we are. What is the Sanskrit word for miserly? Kripada. You have great wealth and you refuse to spend it. You're so cheap that you even hurt yourself by your cheapness. So therefore, when we accept birth and death as part of life, what can we do? We're cheating ourselves. We're being miserly. We're not spending our great wealth. And Krishna wants you to spend that wealth, especially as a human being, which is a body conducive for going back to Godhead. The human body is so conducive for going back to Godhead that even the demigods pray to have a human body. Once their pious activities are expended, they have to leave the heavenly planets. And then they pray in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, you can read it. If we have any punya, if we have any good karma left in our bank accounts, we want to take birth on earth. Particularly, we like to take birth in punya bhumi. We like to take birth in India, where we can maximize our chances for going back to Godhead in a short human form of life. Whereas what is life like in the heavenly planets? The demigods themselves tell you it's too intense up here to material enjoyment. We can't get it together to go back to Godhead. Too much material happiness. You can see that, for example. I've explained. If you know anything about worldwide Islam, the areas that have the best weather have the most difficulty in having serious devotees. The areas where the best weather is, where it's always warm, where everything, the fresh fruits are falling from the trees and the living is easy. Now you might say, well, that would be the best place to practice Krishna consciousness. Because there'd be less material worries, no cold, you don't have to worry about wearing jumpers. But it turns out that those places, we can see now after almost 50 years of ISKCON's history, we see those places have the worst track records in terms of generating serious devotees. And the demigods explain the psychology, why that is so. They say, look at us in the heavenly planets. It's too nice here. It's great for material enjoyment. But as far as going back to Godhead, we have no motivation. Therefore, once our stint in the heavenly planets is finished, they say, we want to take birth on Earth, where it's so easy to go back to Godhead after such a short life. The pleasures on earth compared to the heavenly planets are so low class, we wouldn't be distracted. But up here, we just can't get it together. So there's Katanga Maharaj, an earthling in the heavenly planet. And he's asked, what benediction do you want? Try to understand the context so you can appreciate Maharaj Katanga's character, his bhakti. This is what Bhagavatam is all about, appreciating the bhakti. Bhagavatam is training you via Shukadeva Goswami how to value things properly. What has genuine merit? In this way, our standards rise. Because otherwise all we'll know is the Kali Yuga standard, which is always going down, 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 down. You take that as normal. Every decade it goes lower and lower and lower. So the Bhagavatam is educating us into what is the real standard of human behavior. Just like sometimes, especially news reporters, they would say to Srila Prabhupada when he was with us during the early days of ISKCON, they say, but your movement with those rules and codes for personal behavior, that's very conservative, very high standard. And Prabhupada explained, he said, I've made every concession possible. I'm just giving the minimum. Every concession possible. We don't think that way, but they'll do it. Well, so Prabhupada, we could do with a little tinkering of some of those codes and rules. Another time, Srila Prabhupada told devotees, if I explain to you the full scope of rules and regulations, you would faint. Yet sometimes I hear from devotees, this is a high standard. Bhagavatam will train you to understand Kali Yuga in perspective, and we definitely need that perspective, because otherwise we just know what we grew up with. Look around. I'm not parking in car parks meant for the handicapped. I'm not abusing children. I must be a saint. just naturally live like that. Until you hear Bhagavatam and you hear about these extraordinary personalities. Extraordinary compared to what we have today. Actually, they are the norm. You see, Kali Yuga is a particularly distorted time to exist. But we take it as normal, but actually it's abnormal. So once you can see Kripanga Maharaj in this context, you can appreciate the power of bhakti. And that's what Bhagavatam is training you to see. It's raising your standards. It's raising your consciousness. This is what is real. And bhakti is the most precious wealth that you can get, no matter what else happens in your life. The Bhagavatam doesn't promise you a rose garden in Kali Yuga. But it does promise you that if you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll be protected. Your spiritual life will be protected from the horrible conditions of Kali Yuga. Horrible in that they're so destructive for spiritual advancement. But if you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll be protected. Kripanga Maharaj's response to the demigods was very interesting. I'd like to know when my death is coming. And when he said, come on, Kripanga Maharaj. You do better than that. I was so worried about death. You're negative. You've been listening to too many Hare Krishnas. We say that all the time. You don't know whether they live it, but they say it. Death? What's the big deal? It's just part of life. Ask for some of those heavenly planet girls. Ask for some palaces. Ask for some powerful weapons. You just simply want to know when you're going to die? What do you think? But the Bhagavatam explains that Kripanga Maharaj attained eternal fame by this because he's showing what real alertness is. Be alert about your impending leaving of this body. Now apply that to yourself. Do you really act like your body is going to end at any moment? No, there's something that makes you feel it won't happen to me now. It'll spoil all my fun and plans if I start thinking I'm going to leave this body. That only happens when you're in your 70s and 80s. But Kripanga Maharaj is setting the standard. Being alert about the fact that you can leave your body any moment doesn't make your life negative. It actually makes for a real, genuine life. Because you'll seek to engage in Krishna's service at every moment, thinking that this could be my last moment, so I want to do the best thing at every moment. This is Kripanga Maharaj. So what did he do? He heard from the demigods that it's actually kind of interesting. You asked us that question. When will be your last moment? Because actually, don't mind the saying, but your last moment is coming in just a few moments. So what did Kripanga Maharaj do? He immediately went down to the earth planet. He left the heavenly planets. I gotta get out of here. Why? The circumstances here in the heavenly planets are not conducive for going back to Godhead. And my moment, my final moment is coming. Any moment, I've got to go back down to earth where my consciousness will be able to focus on Krishna better. And there I'll take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he did that. And in a moment, he went back to Godhead. When Sri Goswami is explaining about Kripanga Maharaj to Pritchett Maharaj, it's very interesting. You know, Pritchett Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. Now, he didn't have to submit to any silly curse by some young, inexperienced Brahmana boy. He could have disregarded the curse. Certainly could have retaliated. But if not retaliation, he could have pushed off the curse. But he knew Krishna wants me out of here so that Kali Yuga can come. Krishna wants Kali Yuga to come because there are countless living entities who want Kali Yuga. So when you speak about, sometimes, the horrors of Kali Yuga, just remind yourself, I wanted this. I wanted to take birth during a time when meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling ruled the earth. I wanted this. I wanted to take birth at a time when everyone is simply mad about making money. Whatever kind of way. Destroy themselves, their bodies and minds, destroy the environment. Doesn't matter, make money. I want to be around for that. So here we are in Kali Yuga. Prichit Maharaj knew, as long as I am in charge, Kali Yuga won't be able to manifest its effects. Therefore, I have to get out of here. That's one reason why he didn't counteract the curse. Another reason was he didn't want to embarrass the young Brahmana boy's father. How gentlemanly can one be? Someone, a little boy, let's say, you have any little boys here? Is Nimai here? Is Madhava here? Well, that's why it's quiet. So, Tejas is here. All right, Tejas is there. Okay. Let's say Tejas, when he's 8 years old, he curses a devotee to die in 7 days because the devotee actually stepped on one of his toys. So, the devotee, of course, won't retaliate. And not only that, he won't even throw off the curse. Because the devotee, in the case of Prichit Maharaj, is thinking, I don't want to disturb Tejas' father, Nataputta. The father feels so horrified at what his son did. I don't want to make his father feel even more bent out of shape. So I'll just die. It's a big deal. These are the Bhagavatam personalities. Which we're not just supposed to say, well, that's them, not me. We're supposed to try according to our capacity to follow in their footsteps. We want their behavior to inspire us. So Shukadeva Swami told Prichit Maharaj, think about Katvanga. He achieved perfection in a moment. You've got 7 days just to see how superior your position is. He went back to Godhead. You can too. This is devotee care. Caring for devotees. Your situation's not so bad. You're going to die in 7 days. You got 7 days' notice before the snake bird comes. Katvanga Maharaj just had a moment. He achieved perfection. Come on, Prichit Maharaj. You can do it. This is Shukadeva Swami inspiring his disciple. Now we should understand the background of Katvanga Maharaj. Because he talks about himself. You heard it in the preceding chapter. Katvanga Maharaj explained that even when I was a child, I didn't have attraction for material things. So you might wonder, well, what kind of family upbringing is that? I was never attracted, even in my childhood, by insignificant things or irreligious principles. I did not find anything more substantial than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. He's describing his life, so you can see the bhakti. He also said that there was nothing more dear to me in my life than Brahmana culture. Krishna is known as Brahmanyadeva. He's the worshipful lord of the Brahmanas. Such a Bhagavan Maharaj explained that even my family, my kingdom, my wealth, nothing meant as much to me as did the Brahmanas. So he's showing you how he had the lifestyle that gave him so much bhakti shakti, so much bhakti power. The lifestyle. He doesn't want you to say, oh, well, Chaitanya Maharaj, he was, you know, a rare soul, and therefore he surrendered to Krishna in a moment, hearing that his last moment was due any moment. Chaitanya Maharaj doesn't want you to take him like that. He wants you to consider, look at my lifestyle leading up to that moment. All the pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, had fallen into place. I was prepared by my lifestyle. I didn't waste my childhood. I didn't waste my youth. I was focused. So what are you going to say now? Well, didn't he have any fun as a kid? He just focused on Krishna. He explained that he was indifferent to material things. His lifestyle led to such a successful culmination. And we should also understand the need for our having a proper lifestyle. Don't just be in it for the moment. That is Kali Yuga fever. How do you feel now? Do you feel all right now? That's all that counts. Does it feel good? Okay. Nothing more needs to be said. You may not be Krishna conscious now, and it may not be a Krishna conscious thing to do right now. You could be Krishna conscious in the future. This is Kali Yuga jungle fever, which pervades society. And then you wonder, why are people destroying themselves physically and mentally? Why are they destroying the environment? They can't control their mind and senses. And the political leaders give them no program to train them to control their mind and senses. Yet everyone's crying out, oh, the environment, what to do? Throughout the world, extreme weather rules. It's either too hot, too much rain, or too much this, or too much that. This is all because of the lack of sense control. So where's the program to train people to be able to control their mind and senses? Without that, you have no human society. The extraordinary family lines that you're reading about are simply extraordinary because they followed Dharma. They were regulated, balanced in their living in this world. And that's why they were able to produce generation after generation of high-quality children. So, we always point out that the problem of the world is not the quantity of the population, it's the quality. And who gets the blame for the quality of the population? The ones who are breeding the population. So the glories of these dynasties are that their lifestyle led to generation after generation of powerful personalities. Grihasthas have such an extraordinary responsibility to populate the world with high-quality children. Even though, what is the standard for life in this world? In terms of populating the planet? Well, you know, things go bump in the night. Sometimes things go bump during the day. What happens, happens, you know. That's the standard. And therefore, the family structure is destroyed. Each generation of children becomes more and more crazed and deprived of the necessary standards for proper human development. But don't worry about that. Look at the economy. Is there economic growth? This is how mad human beings have become. Even today, in India, people still have some vague idea about the necessity to have good family lines. There's a vague idea. The original meaning, the full purport, has become lost. You can see it when, in India today, people want to know, what's your family line? What's your gotra? Because during times before Kaliyuga, when the proper system of family expansion was in effect, generation after generation in a certain dynasty would produce generation after generation of powerful personalities. Now, in India, when someone asks, you know, well, what's your caste? It's meaningless. What's your family line? Because none of the family lines are properly following, generally speaking. There are exceptions. But generally speaking, they don't follow. And they become hung up on the material aspect. You have such and such a name, you're from such and such a family, that means you must be. No, it doesn't mean. The substance has become lost, and people have become preoccupied with simply like the outer husk of the rice. This is Kali Yuga. Of course, in spite of all the wreckage of one's life before coming to bhakti, still you can make your life a complete success by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just some kind of touchy-feely-gooey kind of thing. Oh, the mercy. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the form of instructions that allow anyone in the age of Kali, if they follow those instructions, to go back to God. Therefore, anyone, never mind what your past was before taking a bhakti, regret your past, take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, turn a new page in your life, and you can go back to God. So Srila Prabhupada told us, in terms of those born in the West, so when you go to India and people ask, by the way, what's your gotra? What are you supposed to say? The Jones family. The Robinsons. Chukta Gotra. I'm from the Gotra, the dynasty of the infallible one. So again, let us think. What made these dynasties we read about so important? They're enumerated in the Bhagavatam to let us know that we have a need for regulation. We have a need for proper culture. We have a need for social sanity. That's what these dynasties are all about. We can't match them in terms of how first class their standard was, but at least we can do the basics. But then there's arguing even about the basics. Because we're suffering from that Kali Yuga jungle fever. But right now I feel this way, therefore. Whereas Vedic culture means, never mind how you feel at the moment, here is a systematic program that your life should go through. And you'll become purified, you'll live in this world in the best possible way, and go back to God at the end of your life. People today are trained to live so recklessly. Look at the way they treat their bodies and minds. Look at the way they treat the environment. All you can see is recklessness. And so that is what's contaminating us. So Bhagavatam is giving you a cultural lesson. What is the real human standard? And then we see that Katanga's standard made it so that he heard he had one moment to live and he was able to make his life a complete success. We don't have Katanga's standard. Even in India, that standard's not there. But there's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who asked us, chant Hare Krishna, and then organize your life so that you can go on chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, once you understand the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, then you have the responsibility to organize your life so that you can go on chanting Hare Krishna in the best possible way. This is stated in the song Paramakaruna Pavlujana Nithai Gaurachandra. Nithai and Gaurachandra, Paramakaruna, extremely merciful. Sava avatar, Sar Shiromani Kevala Anandakanda, that the essence of all avatars. And the path, the kanda they give, is simply pure ananda, pure bliss. So what do they instruct? Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nithai. Those two brothers instruct. You chant Hare Krishna. Their devotees instruct. You serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You serve Nityananda. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nithai. Sujadav Vishwasakoya. With determination. Vishaya Chadiya. Seva Seva Kya. Bhukhe Bhova Hariya. All right, you've tasted the Hari Hari, chanting Hare Krishna. You tasted, okay. Now all you do is a dream. Structure your life. Establish a genuine lifestyle so you can go on chanting Hare Krishna. Vishaya Chadiya Sevas Kumadiya Mukhe Bhagavadiya. Structure your life so that you can be saved. And because you're chanting Hare Krishna, then whatever your life was before, it doesn't matter. Whatever horrible things you did before, it doesn't matter. Chant Hare Krishna. And if you are serious about chanting Hare Krishna, you'll structure your life so you can go on chanting Hare Krishna. That's all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants. Lifestyles based on successful chanting of Hare Krishna. Progressive chanting. You have to start somewhere. I always like to point out, just so persons understand the glories of the holy name. I started chanting Hare Krishna one bead a day. Not one man, one bead a day. Generally, when people hear that, they think, wow, this, there is hope for me then. One bead a day. 11 o'clock in the morning, on weekends, I wake up, pick up the Java beads, chant one bead, okay, that's enough. Gradually the chanting increased, and then you start to understand, if I want to go on chanting Hare Krishna, I need to make some lifestyle changes. I can't be part of Kali Yuga anymore. I got a bloop from Kali Yuga. That means rules, regulations. Any sick person is eager to follow rules and regulations because you want to get well. This is what we can take from hearing about these dynasties. The son of Mars, Kapunda, was dear to Babu. His son was a celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja. From Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasarath, who's the father of Lord Ram, Bharat, Shatrughna, Lakshman. It's all about lifestyle and passing on that lifestyle knowledge from generation to generation, combined with bringing into the world proper children. Dharma, Garuda, Bloom, Teshu, Kama, Sweet Water, Tasha. Krishna himself says, I am that procreative act when done according to Dharma. That's me. In this way, bhakti is all inclusive. But there's always a right and proper way how to do things. So we need to be mindful of this Kali Yuga tendency, which we just do everything helter-skelter based on how we feel at the moment. How do you feel? I feel good. Yeah, I feel good too. Like I said, this is the right thing. Reminds me of the immortal advice given by one New Age spokesperson. His first name is Deepak, I won't say so. How do you know what's right? Consult your body. If your body gives you a good feeling, it's right. If your body gives you a bad feeling, it's wrong. Trust your body. This is Kali Yuga. How can you trust your body when you're not the body? As I say, trust your jumper. How do you know what's right? Come on, your cheddar. How do you feel? I think I feel good. Okay, it's right. What I'm doing is right. It's crazy. But this is the kind of so-called culture that we're coming from. And it's affecting even India. Those from India can't stick their nose up in the air.
Yeah, from India.
India's becoming overrun by all this. Whether we're from India or New Zealand, here, there, whatever, let us take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in order to take Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have to have an organized lifestyle. Vishaya Chadeva Seva Seva. If you want to go on with that Hari Hari, then you need a proper lifestyle. In the beginning, no. But once you become serious about chanting Hare Krishna, you have to accept what else comes along with it. I need to organize my life. I need to structure my life. I need to become educated about how to make spiritual progress in the age of Kali. Then you can be a rightful member of the Achyuta Gotra, the infallible dynasty. So we can also achieve what Maharaj Kapunda achieved, even in this lowest of all ages. That's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Everyone here can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Normally that's not the case. But Lord Chaitanya's empowered representative, Srila Prabhupada, is giving us the means to finish up our business in this lifetime. One devotee was saying to Prabhupada, it seems so impossible how to go back to God. Look at the obstacles. Kali Yuga is crazy. And so Prabhupada said, you just do what I say. I guess you took the Loka Madhavan through the back door. That's the mercy of a devotee. I guess you're in through the back door. Once you're in, you're in. Krishna's back door. Thank you very much.